The following radio program is for informational purposes only and is neither specific nor tailored financial advice to any individual. It is not intended as an offer or solicitation for the purchase or sale of any financial instrument. Always do your own due diligence and consult a financial advisor before making any investments. Investing involves risk, which can result in the loss of any or all principal. Peter Weitz is a registered investment advisor with Fusion Analytics Investment Partners, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor, as well as a registered rep with Fusion Analytics Securities, LLC, a FINRA registered broker dealer and SIPC member. All views expressed in this program are those of the host or guests and do not reflect the opinions of Fusion Analytics Investment Partners nor its affiliates. Your investments. How secure are you that they are secure? Do you want to know more about investing, retirement, and moving to the next level in business? Welcome to In Black and Whites, featuring host Peter Weitz. Our program will answer all of the questions about your future and so much more. It's all about smart business and smarter investing. Now, here is your host, Peter Weitz.
Hey, thanks. Welcome back to the program. I am your host, Peter Weitz. It is another Chamber of Commerce Day here in South Florida. Certainly hope the weather's good where you are, and thanks for tuning in. Real quick, make sure you check out our blog. We continue to post all throughout the show interesting things that come up during the day, particularly as they relate to today's topic, which we'll get to in just a moment. But the blog site is inblackandwhites.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at Peter Weitz. I'll be tweeting about today's show as we go. Make sure you go to our LinkedIn, Peter Weitz, or Facebook page, and you'll get all the information on the In Black and White show. So we have an interesting topic today. I called it, is temp the new perm? And when I mentioned that, I wasn't necessarily talking about the hairstyle when I mentioned perm, but I was talking about how people are actually taking jobs on temporary project basis as their permanent career. And I thought it would be a great topic in light of particularly in light of the fact that the economy is recovering. And I want to hear about how that ties in with the job market in total. So I've invited Mark Viner, the president of the Project Resources Division of a really high-end boutique firm here in Florida. And I think they're in 30 states, but he'll correct me if I'm wrong. He's the division president. He runs the placement side on the projects division. So just a quick bio on Mark. He spent 18 years as a CFO and CPA working for companies such as Dreams Incorporated, a publicly held sports memorabilia provider. And then he had numerous senior level positions in management at Walt Disney, Planet Hollywood, Harris Corporation, and Deloitte. He decided to make a career change and get into sales, marketing, and leadership of project-based professional services because he figured he understood that need in the market based on his prior career. And so with that, I'd like to welcome Mark Viner to the show. Good morning, Mark.
Peter, how are you? Thank you for having me on your show today.
No problem. Thank you for being here. So explain just in a nutshell what a project resources division president does.
Well, it's going to be a lot about what I'm going to talk about today is this newer way, let's say, that people are choosing to work. The one thing you'll never catch me saying is perm job, okay? I may say traditional perm job, which you may have a traditional perm job. I kind of have a traditional perm job. But there's a non-traditional perm job that's out there, which people are more and more choosing, is to become a project professional. Experienced people that are choosing to take control of their work life. And, you know, a lot of this has stemmed from, you know, some things that have gone on in the economy, right? Sometimes you can't control your destiny if you think you're in a perm job, right, where you're laid off or your company was sold and you lost your job, right? What's perm anymore? And so, in the, you know, a newer type of professional service firm has evolved, and I would say very specifically over the last 20 years, which are allowing people to take control of their work lives and become a dedicated project professional.
I mean, people, when they think about, you know, becoming a dedicated project professional, I mean, if we go back 20 years, or let's go back to where you mentioned the evolution of this new type of industry. If you go back 20 years ago and you mentioned the word temp, people immediately think clerical. And I think, you know, I'm getting a secretary for the day. You know, mine called out sick. And is that sort of, you know, the evolution and the beginning of what you got into? And what's really the difference
between
the two?
And I used some of my experience, you know, formerly of a, with being a, you know, CFO of a public company, you know, when I needed to access talent, I, you know, sometimes I may need an AP clerk, right? Or a temp, or, you know, just to go to a staffing agency. But, you know, like when my controller went out on maternity leave, I never imagined I could access, you know, that experienced CPA during the 4 months she was out to sit in that seat and get things done. You know, a little history, if I could tell you that I think the birth of this industry, if you will, I like to point to there's a, you know, a big four audit partner in Orange County, California, saw this interesting dynamic with his clients. Before Sarbanes-Oxley, when there was independence issues, accounting firms regularly would do loan staff, right? They would have a client that was going through whatever change they were, and they were understaffed, and you know, they would go to their audit partner, the big, you know, the accounting firm, say, hey, do you have any staff you could loan to me? And the partner would look to his bench, and he would see the 2 to 3 year kid that maybe wasn't assigned to an audit, and he would loan them to the company. Well, invariably, what would happen is that 2 to 3 year inexperienced kid, right, would go out to the client, had no experience. And the client would send it back to the partner in the firm saying, that didn't work. Well, at the same time, that same audit partner or the accounting firm saw very talented women at about the 10, 11, 12 year mark of their career that were, you know, couldn't handle the demands of public accounting necessarily because they were starting families. And they were leaving the firm and leaving public accounting. But he saw this interesting opportunity. Here were experienced people, in this case, women that were leaving his firm, that, you know, if they had the opportunity to plug in with their client, they would succeed because they're more experienced. So I think an industry was born, you know, using this mentality.
That's interesting. And so what you're essentially saying is that, you know, and you used a great example about how your controller goes out on maternity leave and you need somebody to fill that void. So are you telling me that there are, you know, controllers that are out in the marketplace that just want to work somewhere for 3 or 4 months?
Yeah, there's a meaningful demographic of person out there that desires this sort of challenge. Beyond compensation, which I'll talk in detail about, there are some very rewarding things that come along with project work that people gravitate to and embrace and generally never let go, right? It's the ability to have the flexibility in your life that you may choose, right? There are people out there who only want to work 9 months out of the year because they want to travel with their kids during the summer months. Or, hey, I want to work on a project 3, 4, 5 months, and I want to take some time off before you redeploy me. So it offers that sort of flexibility. But, you know, it's the ability to be less stressful than you were previously in your traditional perm life, where maybe you work a long day, right, 9, 10, 11 hours. You can put your pencil down and go home and not be as stressed. You could stay free from the political environment that exists at every single company, right? You're not there to take anybody's job. You're there to plug in, lend the company your experience to help them manage change. So, yes, there's a meaningful demographic of person that desires that challenge. But the evolvement of this industry I'm talking about, I think, comes, you know, from the level of professional service approach that's wrapped around this. So these are no longer 1099 temps. You know, professional staffing firms such as ours are recruiting and employing project professionals to be employees of their firm. By way of example, you know, the project professionals we hire receive the same exact benefits I receive on the internal side. And that's all the traditional benefits associated with traditional permanent employment, right? So that's a health care, that's a 401k offering, there's a paid time off model. So it's very similar to traditional permanent employment from that perspective. But I think the, you know, the thing also is this becomes very lucrative. I will tell you the W-2s that I hand out at year end are generally in excess of what people could command in the traditional workplace. And I can give you an example if you're interested.
I am. I do want to get to that. I want to touch, though, on one thing you said. So basically you're telling me that the people that you're attracting or you're recruiting for the positions that you have available actually become employees of your company and get the same benefits that they would for working for a large company but don't have to deal with the red tape?
That's right. That's right.
Or with the bureaucracy?
I would tell you that, you know, not every firm approaches it this way. There is a certain level of professional service firm that approaches it this way. Sure, our industry is beset with the history of, you know, placing temps out and staffing agencies and being a 1099 contractor, but there are increasing professional service firms that offer these whole host of benefits.
And what do you – like when you go out and hire or find someone that's interested in this, I mean, you know, one of the things I really want to focus on a lot today is what does that candidate – what is a candidate that you pick or select for a job? What goes through their mindset that says, you know, I want to, you know, just become a temporary project person at multiple different corporations for the next 20 years of my life? I mean, is – you know, what would compel someone to think that way?
Well, let's talk money first, right? You know, if I'm a controller at a public company, let's say I make $100,000 a year, I'd say the average work week for a public company controller is probably 55 hours a week. Okay, so if I take that over the 52 weeks, I'm working roughly 2,800 hours a year to make that 100 grand. That math is $35 an hour. I'm making $35 an hour to make the 100 grand. If I'm a project professional and we compensate our associates on an hourly basis for every hour they work and time and a half over 40. So if I'm going to pay that project professional who's a controller type, let's say $50 an hour, they're going to make $50 an hour on that first 40 in that 55-hour work week, and they're going to make $75 for that incremental 15. So the math on that, for that 55-hour work week, they're going to make roughly $3,125. That over the year times 52 weeks is $162,000 a year. So if you take the math, that $100,000 divided by the $3,125 they would earn as a project professional, they actually have to work 32 weeks out of the year to make the same money when they were a traditional perm controller.
Or presumably they continue to work all 52 weeks and make that much more in income.
Some people want to do that and some people don't. Remember, I go back to the flexibility. Now, you have,
right.
You know, you can certainly choose to work that often. And I will tell you the demand for these project professionals is very significant at the moment. You know, with everything that's going on, let's call it M&A, let's call it the growth of companies, let's call it low unemployment. Right. So what we'll see is there's an increased demand for project professionals during periods of low unemployment, such as we have now. I would offer to you, you know, people within finance, accounting, IT, and HR in that $100,000 to $150,000 space, unemployment is as low as 1 to 2%. So what that means is when one of those people leave your company, you're not so quick to replace that internal permanent resource. Very often our clients will access a project professional to plug into that seat and perform the duties of that seat while they conduct a traditional search to replace the person who left.
And that's interesting. And I think, you know, when we get back, Mark, from break, what I want to switch gears and I want to spend a little bit of time talking about the mentality from the corporate side,
sure,
versus just the individual. And we'll do that in just a minute. You're listening to the In Black and Whites radio program. I'm your host, Peter Whites. We'll be back shortly.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
Climbing Mount Everest is an amazing feat, and many have died trying to do so. However, more people have died descending Mount Everest than in reaching the summit. Part of the problem may be that people are so focused on reaching their objective that they fail to plan appropriately for what they will do or should be prepared for afterward. Similarly, people are so focused on saving for retirement and reaching retirement that they fail to plan appropriately for what they will encounter once they have actually retired. With one out of every four 65-year-olds today living past the age of 90, you may be retired longer than you are actually working. Have you devised a plan, process, and discipline to ensure that you will not run out of money? If you are not sure what to do, then simply contact Peter Weitz and his retirement team at Fusion Analytics. We help manage human emotions using three proprietary investment techniques. Our job is to evaluate the forces that the typical investor can't see so that wealth is preserved and not lost. Find out more at inblackandwhites.com. Weitz is spelled W-E-I-T-Z. Email Peter at inblackandwhites.com. In Black and Whites, we win by not losing.
Stephen Douglas Associates, delivering talent, impacting results. Now celebrating 30 years of bringing top talent to some of the nation's most recognizable companies and private equity firms, whether they need highly qualified executives permanently or on a project basis. Recognized by Inc. magazine as one of the fastest growing companies in America in 2012 and 2013. To learn more, visit us at www.stephendouglas.com.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to In Black and Whites. To reach Peter Weitz or his guest today, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You may also send an email to peter at inblackandwhites.com. Weitz is spelled W-E-I-T-Z. Email peter at inblackandwhites.com. Now, back to this week's program.
Hi, thanks. Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Peter Weitz. We were speaking today with Mark Viner, Project Resources President from Stephen Douglas and Associates, a boutique job placement company. And we're talking about temporary people becoming the new norm for permanent placement, being that there's a lot of people out there, a lot of employees out there that are wanting to work for themselves, essentially taking on projects, working for corporations for a short period of time as opposed to working for the same company for an extended period of time. And we spent the first segment of the show talking about the perspective from the employee, but I'd like to spend a good portion of the next segment talking about what the employer gains from bringing on a temp in what otherwise would be a very high-level, highly skilled position. So, Mark, walk me through when you go out and speak to the numerous corporations that you talk to, walk me through how you explain the temporary positions to them and what benefits they gain by hiring someone on a temporary project basis.
Gotcha. Yeah. So we've determined, and there are, you know, four very specific ways that companies can access human capital to manage change, right? They may want to hire somebody internal, right? You're going to hire an internal FTE, and you may have an HR department to do that. You may use a search firm. You're going to hire somebody. Number two is, you know what? I want to outsource a certain function, right? I want to hire ADT to do payroll, or I want to, you know, outsource internal audit. You know, another way. Number three is, I don't know how to do something. I need to hire a traditional consulting firm to come in. A group of MBAs to come in from the outside to analyze my business and tell me how to do something. But the space that we play in and where companies are leveraging this is, you know, typically a CFO will say, you know what, I've got to change. I've got to integrate an acquisition as an example. I don't need to necessarily hire somebody. I don't have to give this away. I don't have to be told what to do. I just don't either have the expertise or the bandwidth on my team to accomplish this initiative that's on my plate. And I'd like to access an experienced person who can plug in, require very little handholding, bring to this team what I'm lacking to help me accomplish this initiative. And that's where the project professional come in. Because on average, our project people have about 18 years of experience each, are typically CPAs, national accounting firm alums, that's within accounting and finance, and they have the ability to plug in and be effective right away. And that's where our clients are turning to us, is to variably, cost-effectively manage change.
As we were speaking earlier about the actual employee having working less hours for the same money or working the same amount of hours and making more money. What benefit, economic benefits are you seeing from the employer side? I mean, imagine they're, you know, maybe they might be paying more for an hourly person but don't have to pay the benefits. How does that equate? You know, what do they gain from that?
Yeah, well, it's access to, you know, significant talent at rates that companies are far less than what they're used to paying. You know, it's no secret, you know, a 20-year CPA from a large accounting firm, that bill rate's going to start with a, you know, a 2, a 3, or a 4. If you go to a large-scale consulting firm where you're going to have somebody come in, you know, that number is going to be similar, a 2, 3, or 4. Because we're not a consulting firm, we don't come in with outside methodology, we work directly for management and our client under their direction. What that means is I'm not billable and I don't have cost to pass through. You know, the average bill rate of our almost 200 associates is probably about $115 an hour. That resonates with CFOs. I can access, you know, a 19-year CPA national accounting firm alum that's been a controller at two or three companies that's now a dedicated project professional for $115 an hour. There's great value in that.
And so I'm a CFO of I'm a CFO of a company, and I guess where I'm amazed in hearing you speak about this, and I'm going to think about this, is that even in, you would think your people get placed more in a down market when people are downsizing, but I think what's interesting is that your people are being placed in good markets when there's low unemployment because you've got the people and they need the positions filled.
That's right. That's right. Projects don't have to be specifically, you know, defined as a system implementation or, you know, a filing a 10K. It could be just pure bandwidth. You know, I hire another example I wanted to give you on, you know, becoming a project professional and what this means to people. You know, I hire the same way I've hired throughout my career. I can only hire A-plus talent, right? So on the recruiting side, you know, I can't hire a B. If I send a B out to a client, you know, they're going to send them back to me and, you know, never use me again. But for that demographic of person that desires project work as a career, I will tell you that in the hundreds and hundreds of projects that I've been involved in selling, I would put it upwards of 95% of the time that our project people are offered traditional perm jobs at the clients where they're working. Right, you're placing talented and experienced people into companies that largely lack talent. So very natural, they'd like to convert them, you know, to an internal employee. Well, I've already done my homework for them in terms of my dedicated recruiting of identifying people that desire this flexibility, this uniqueness that we offer. That I've seen, you know, less than 25 cases out of those hundreds where they actually take that traditional perm job. Right? They see the political environment. They see the stress. They enjoy the flexibility they have of what, you know, a project firm can allow them to be this dedicated project professional.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I'm thinking about this and, you know, and talking about outsourcing, you know, and a lot of the things that, you know, I do. I mean, you know, I manage 401k plans. And so I can see a lot of companies outsourcing payroll. I see a lot of companies, you know, going out and getting insurance companies and so forth because they just don't have the necessity to build a full HR team to do all this stuff in-house. And so I'm imagining there's a very direct correlation to what you're doing just with other types of people like IT, finance, HR.
That's right. But I would say more from an insourcing perspective, not outsourcing. If you make the choice to give away a certain discipline, that's not the role that we're filling. We're, you know, if a company a public company that's dealing with Sarbanes-Oxley, you can hire a firm just to run that initiative for you, and it'll be very costly. Or you can run that initiative internally, access, you know, a project person or two, right, that you will lead, that has the experience of handling Sarbanes-Oxley's issues, and your spend in that area will be tremendously less.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm actually tweeting right now your use of the word insourcing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's an interesting term, and it probably is pretty germane to our conversation today. So is that a common industry term, or is that something that you know you come up with and how you present what you do?
Yeah, we may have created it some, you know, from the birth of this industry, call it over the last 20 years. When I hear outsourcing, I hear ownership, I hear, you know, methodology, I hear giving something away, right? So insourcing is, I can do this if I had the people on my staff that either had this expertise or I had the right number of internal FTEs, I could do this work. I don't have to give that away. And that's the role that project people, fill from an insourcing perspective. And again, because of their experience, these aren't inexperienced 2, 3, 4 level, juniors in their career. You know, a firm such as ours, our recruiting level starts at the 10-year mark. But again, on average, it's upwards of 20 years. And the reason, Peter, is because, you know, not everybody can get their arms around this concept of becoming a project professional. And I would tell you, it's not for everybody. So in our recruiting, you know, if we sense, you know, somebody needs to know they have a paycheck every week, we'll tell you not to do this, right? Because there's no, you know, guarantees of being deployed. However, we'll demonstrate to you that in the example I gave, you know, hey, working 2/3 out of the year, you can make the same amount of money you've made before. And you know what? If you're good, the likelihood of being deployed is very, very good.
So I want to follow up on that a little bit. So you're saying that some of the people, just there might be periods of time where your project people don't have a position, or you don't have a position for them to fill at the moment. Is that correct?
The answer could be yes, but remember, it also could be by choice. So if somebody's right. rolling off a project on a Friday, they may raise their hand and say, you know what, don't deploy me for 2, 3, 4 weeks because I want to go, you know, skiing in Utah. Or they may say, hey, you know what, I'm rolling on Friday. I want to be deployed on Monday. You know, the internal marketing team at that point and business development team is working to make that happen. But there could be a level of down point of, you know, a few days to a week or 2 weeks. But what we very often tell our people is, you know what, enjoy this time off. You know, take care of things that you need to take care of personally, because when you're deployed on your next project, you know, you're back at the grind again.
Right. And I'd imagine that the downside, you know, in some of these projects is that, you know, they become workhorses. So maybe that 55-hour week that you mentioned earlier in the program might actually turn into 70 hours a week because they want to push the, you know, their high-end consultants as far as they can.
Yeah, and it's depending on the initiative, right? So if it's a public filing that has a definitive deadline and there's complex issues, you know, it could cause some material hours that you're working. But, you know, in that instance, you're being handsomely rewarded for your effort.
Right. And, I was thinking about this, too, is that you made a point, and I think I want to really drill deeper on it once we get back from break. But you made a point about how there may not necessarily be a project. And I wasn't necessarily clear on that in the beginning. I'm almost thinking that, you know, a big law firm, you know, has a huge case that just came up. And instead of going out and hiring 5 lawyers permanently, they just go hire 5 lawyers on a project basis just to handle this case. And once this case is over, those lawyers don't work there anymore. But what I'm hearing you say, and I want to talk about it when we get back from break, is that they may just be hired for not a specific purpose, but to actually just work in the company for some reason. Is that correct?
Correct. And if we're going to break right now, I'd be happy to expand more on that for sure.
Yeah, we'll talk about that when we get back. You're listening to the In Black and Whites radio program on Voice America Business.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
Stephen Douglas Associates, delivering talent, impacting results. Now celebrating 30 years of bringing top talent to some of the nation's most recognizable companies and private equity firms, whether they need highly qualified executives permanently or on a project basis. Recognized by Inc. magazine as one of the fastest growing companies in America in 2012 and 2013. To learn more, visit us at www.stephendouglas.com.
Climbing Mount Everest is an amazing feat, and many have died trying to do so. However, more people have died descending Mount Everest than in reaching the summit. Part of the problem may be that people are so focused on reaching their objective that they fail to plan appropriately for what they will do or should be prepared for afterward. Similarly, people are so focused on saving for retirement and reaching retirement that they fail to plan appropriately for what they will encounter once they have actually retired. With one out of every four 65-year-olds today living past the age of 90, you may be retired longer than you are actually working. Have you devised a plan, process, and discipline to ensure that you will not run out of money? If you are not sure what to do, then simply contact Peter Weitz and his retirement team at Fusion Analytics. We help manage human emotions using three proprietary investment techniques. Our job is to evaluate the forces that the typical investor can't see so that wealth is preserved and not lost. Find out more at inblackandwhites.com. Weitz is spelled W-E-I-T-Z. Email Peter at inblackandwhites.com. In Black and Whites, we win by not losing.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
You are listening to In Black and Whites. To reach Peter Weitz or his guest today, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You may also send an email to peter at inblackandwhites.com. Whites is spelled W-E-I-T-Z. Email peter at inblackandwhites.com. Now, back to this week's program.
Hi, thanks for listening. I'm your host, Peter Weitz. This is the In Black and Whites radio program. Want to do a quick thank you to our sponsors, Stephen Douglas and Associates, American Century Investments, and their law firm of Retzel and Andrus. We appreciate your support. Also, make sure that you join us on LinkedIn, follow our blog at In Black and Whites, or check me out on Twitter. My handle is Peter Weitz, and you'll be seeing or you'll be able to read some of the interesting comments that our guest Mark Viner is making throughout the program. Before the break, and actually during the break, Mark and I were talking about the evolution of a project person and what really happens with projects along the way. So, you know, walk me through this, Mark. A company comes up with a need for some reason. So let's go back to your example in the beginning of the show where you said a controller goes out on maternity leave and they need a temporary person to step into the controller role. So you go out and place that person in the controller's position while their original controller is on maternity leave. And then what happens?
So what happens is we have a penciled in understanding at the beginning of a project of how long it will last. The project person is that company's exclusive dedicated asset for as little or as long as they'd like. So in this instance, they're going to go out there for the 3 to 4 months, cover the maternity leave. What our experience is probably as high as 95% of the time, projects extend beyond the original contemplation. And the reason why is we are plugging talented and experienced people into companies that largely lack talent. And as they gain intellectual capital within the company, they become somewhat invaluable. So you know, we are numb to those penciled in three-month projects that become 15 months. Right, because magically more and more things are happening at the company, which would demand, additional attention and assistance. Right, they've acquired a company and they have to integrate that acquisition. There's, you know, growth in the company. There's coverage. There's you know, system implementations. There's other reasons to lever that person who now knows the company backwards and forwards. And you may recall I told you earlier in the conversation that dedicated project professionals very often offer jobs, right, job opportunities at that company, and they generally respectfully decline, right? They're happy to stay there for as long as they'd like, but just not interested in the traditional perm job they're offering. So, yeah, we're numb to the penciled in 2 to 3 month projects that become, you know, 8 months, 9 months, 12 months, 4 years. We've got a project, actually 5 years, our first project professional in Minneapolis, who's assisting a large Fortune company, Fortune healthcare company, was penciled in for a 4 to 5 month project. 5 years later, she's still there as a project professional, as an employee of ours.
That's amazing. What? So, and then what would happen? I mean, do you see this a lot? Well, let's go back to that controller example that the woman is out on maternity leave. Mm-hmm. When she comes back, is there still a possibility that they would keep your project person, even though that person's returned to their position?
Absolutely. You know, our project person can be redeployed now, maybe not in the controller seat because the controller's back, but it could be budget season. And, you know, the budgeting and forecasting is now due. Or the auditors are coming in 3 weeks and we haven't touched the, you know, the PBC list. Or in this case, we're a public company and we need, you know, a lot of attention to the, to drafting the 10K. And so there's invariably, there seems to be other initiatives and initiatives that are going on at companies continuously where you need to lever talent.
So let me ask the hard questions because I've been asking the easy ones, and you know I'm not going to let you off the hook, especially
no problem,
because you know how it is when we play golf. We don't let each other off the hook. I'm not going to let you off here. So here's my question. Do people or, you know, what happens in situations where it doesn't work? You know, you tell me you hire the most seasoned professionals. You know, you've got people with tremendous experience, but they can't all be successful. I mean, are there times when when your project person doesn't like the company they work for, or vice versa?
The answer is yes. Now, I will tell you not often on a couple levels. Okay, so you know, I work, or the division I lead is part of a long-standing search firm. We're going to be very focused on the recruiting side, right, to help ensure our chances and reduce the instances where there may be misses. Now, the way I'll expand on this, if somebody is working with the search side of our business and is in between traditional perm jobs, we are not interested in talking to that person about, you know, becoming a project professional. Okay, because this isn't for anybody. If you think of the three ways that I can burn a company and burn a client relationship where I could have a bad experience such as the one you're explaining, is number one, I miss it on the recruiting end and I don't hire that A talent and I hire a B. Now, we try to mitigate that by making sure that we're doing good reference checks and we're focused on bringing on great talented people. Now, our likelihood of that happening is enhanced because we're playing in that experienced space, right? People who have 18, 20 years of experience. Number two, it's not listening to my client. And you asked a good question, because one way I could fail at a client is to square peg round hole a project professional, right? So a client tells me they have a specific need, and I don't either listen or understand, and I just send an available person who's available out there. And what's going to happen? They don't have the skill that my client asked for, and they're going to send the person back to me. But the last reason, which is a reason that could burn us, is if we miss it on the recruiting end. I could have a very talented person that comes to me that's in between traditional perm jobs that may have the exact skill set my client's asking for. And I may miss it on the recruiting end of their desire for project employment, and I send them out to a client. Well, they're going to knock it out of the park because they have the exact skill that my client's asking for. But they may have one eye out the door because they really seek traditional perm employment. They may disrupt that project, right, by going off on traditional perm job interviews. And then, in my opinion, the worst thing that can happen is they get that traditional perm job they truly seek, and they walk out of the client with intellectual capital. Now I'm like a lot of my competitors who really just take available people. So the difference that I would tell you, and the way to avoid those instances, which do happen from time to time, but to minimize those, is to stay really focused on the recruiting side of identifying that meaningful demographic of person that does exist who desires project work as that career alternative, and listening to your client. If you do those things, you know, you're going to minimize those few instances where you have a bad experience.
And that makes sense from a pure business perspective. But what about if there's just a general personality flaw? You know, what if I'm a project person and you place me into a company and I just don't like the person I'm working for?
You know, that can happen, right? So what we'll do on the front end is very often we'll have our clients meet. you know, the person that we identify that is a fit for their need and say, hey, we want you to have a meeting, an interview with the person. And that's generally a soft skills sort of interview to make sure that there's a fit there. But, you know, going back to the recruiting side, you know, the number one ingredient that we look for people that want to do this as a career is their ability to check their ego at the door, right? They've already got the person in the corner that already has the vision for the company. This is somebody who wants to roll up their sleeves and plug in and help accomplish that company's goals, right? So you're not going to get involved in the political nature that it involves. You've checked your ego at the door.
That makes sense, Mark, because they don't really have a say in what goes on at the company they're working for.
And if you have that mentality, you're less concerned with personalities that exist at companies, right? You generally have the ability to maybe not be as bothered. Now, you know, there certainly are far-fetched examples where you deal with people who are a little unruly or you don't want to deal with, and you know, then you have to step in from a professional service firm perspective to mitigate the situation. But that doesn't happen very often. Again, if you're focused on the recruiting side.
Right. So we're getting ahead of ourselves here, but I want to talk about how you actually go about recruiting somebody, because I think that is at least of interest to me. But at the moment, I'm thinking about now I'm working at a company and I'm there for several months, and you had mentioned that sometimes a project turns into another project. So does that mean they might be working for somebody else?
Somebody else within that company.
So do you have to then sort of redo this whole interview process again, or how would that work?
No, at that point you're essentially a known commodity, almost as if you worked at the company, right? So you probably had exposure to the person. So a real example is going back to the controller example. So I've got an interim controller who's covering a maternity leave that is doing a great job in covering that role. Well, they may have exposure, right, to the VP of FP&A, who it's, you know, budget season's coming up, and maybe they work together on some initiatives along the way, where when that person realizes, oh, our permanent controller is coming back from maternity leave, I would like to access that person because I've got, you know, 8 weeks of planned work where I don't have the bandwidth to attack that. So typically it's because of their exposure within the company that expands into other projects.
That's interesting. And what is your, other than 5 years, is that your longest that someone's been in a temp job?
Yeah. And I may be doing disservice because my managing director in Minneapolis is probably listening, and I think that project's actually over 6 years.
6 years.
If I think of the time that she's been, that we've been in Minneapolis, which has been maybe closer to seven. It's probably 6.5 years that person's been out. I'd say that's the record in my knowledge of this industry.
And what type of job is that?
She's a core accountant who, performs various controller-type duties. I know that this company has been very active in terms of its growth. And again, remember, backfilling open positions in advance of hiring, right? So they've got this internal resource that they can plug in. And that's what they've done. So in that case, she's a core accountant.
Interesting. We're going to come back in just a minute, Mark, and I've got a couple of other questions for you that are of interest to me. But you're listening to the In Black and Whites radio program. I'm your host, Peter Whites. We'll be back in just a moment.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
Climbing Mount Everest is an amazing feat, and many have died trying to do so. However, more people have died descending Mount Everest than in reaching the summit. Part of the problem may be that people are so focused on reaching their objective that they fail to plan appropriately for what they will do or should be prepared for afterward. Similarly, people are so focused on saving for retirement and reaching retirement that they fail to plan appropriately for what they will encounter once they have actually retired. With one out of every four 65-year-olds today living past the age of 90, you may be retired longer than you are actually working. Have you devised a plan, process, and discipline to ensure that you will not run out of money? If you are not sure what to do, then simply contact Peter Weitz and his retirement team at Fusion Analytics. We help manage human emotions using three proprietary investment techniques. Our job is to evaluate the forces that the typical investor can't see so that wealth is preserved and not lost. Find out more at inblackandwhites.com. Weitz is spelled W-E-I-T-Z. Email Peter at inblackandwhites.com. In Black and Whites, we win by not losing.
Stephen Douglas Associates, delivering talent, impacting results. Now celebrating 30 years of bringing top talent to some of the nation's most recognizable companies and private equity firms, whether they need highly qualified executives permanently or on a project basis. Recognized by Inc. magazine as one of the fastest growing companies in America in 2012 and 2013. To learn more, visit us at www.stephendouglas.com.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to In Black and Whites. To reach Peter Weitz or his guest today, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You may also send an email to peter@inblackandwhites.com. Whites is spelled W-E-I-T-Z. Email peter@inblackandwhites.com. Now, back to this week's program.
Hi, thanks. Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Peter Weitz. We're talking with Mark Miner, from the Division President of Project Resources at Stephen Douglas. And before the break, we were talking about Mark's longest temporary placement, which is up in Minneapolis, approaching 7 years. And at the break, he and I were talking about how that's not typically the business model. So, Mark, I want to ask you this. So you get approached by a company. What is a typical project? You know, what's the length that they're really – that you sort of have as your niche?
Yeah, the seven-year example, while it's real, is not, you know, that's not the core of our business model. You know, and I gave you the examples earlier of the penciled in, you know, 2 to 3 month projects that become 18 months. While that's, you know, happens very often, it's not the core and you know, the reason for our business model, right? We're set up to cost effectively help companies variably manage change. So, you know, the factual answer to the average project length, I would put it right at about 3 months on average. So, of how long a project person is plugged into a company, to help them on, you know, whatever initiative they may be helping them with.
And are they typically regional? So, I mean, you mentioned you have an office in Minneapolis. I know you have an office here in Florida, but are these jobs essentially local people going to the local company, or are any of them relos?
Great question. And as it relates to, let's call it the category of flexibility. So yes, our firm has offices in New York, LA, Minneapolis, Orlando, Tampa, South Florida, soon to be Atlanta. Because of our scale, we found that we're able to help companies who may have, operations and footprints around the country, particularly private equity. If you think, you know, private equity have portfolio companies that are anywhere in the country, and, you know, it's not, you know, cost prohibitive for them to access a project person who's coming from a different market. But again, going back to the flexibility, so when we're recruiting and hiring and onboarding project professionals in individual markets, we'll ask them, are you willing to travel? You know, if it means, you know, out Monday morning, home Friday night. And they have a choice, right? They may say, hey, I live in Boca and I really only want to work in Palm Beach County. Great. Then we know how to deploy you. Or we'll have people say, sure, you know what, for the right project, I'm open to travel. So because of our increased footprint and opening up other offices, we do have a number of our associates who are currently working in markets other than the one that they're in because they have the right skill set that a client in a different market is asking for. But again, it's flexibility. We don't force our associates to travel, and we're very collaborative from that perspective.
And when you go into other markets, and I don't have any particular reason why I'm asking this, but just other than curiosity, but are wage is the wage scale different? I mean, I'd imagine New York, you know, is probably a bad example because I'm sure the cost of living. But, you know, are you seeing differences in wage scales for the same types of positions?
Yeah, that's fair. It probably would mirror, you know, I would look to traditional permanent employment. So in the example of a, you know, call it a small middle market, you know, public company controller where it may be $100,000 in, say, you know, Orlando, Florida, you know, that same company, that position in L.A. may be, you know, $140,000 just to make up a number. That then would translate both in terms of compensation and pay rates and also in bill rates. So there is some of that that occurs.
So, and I guess the last question, and I'm not really sure if you cover this or not, but, you know, there's this whole thing with Obamacare going on and, you know, how you have to have a certain number of employees to qualify and so forth. Do you think that there will be any changes in people coming on board in a temporary basis or project basis to sort of lower the total full-time employee headcount?
That's an interesting comment. And, you know, from my perspective, I hope that happens, right? If a company is trying to manage their FTE count yet still, you know, has a certain amount of workload they need to cover and need to, you know, variably access project professionals, that would be great. I can tell you I haven't given any thought to that. It will be interesting to see how it plays out, but maybe a parallel comment I would give you to that, and it's not Obamacare, but if you think of periods of, you know, that we've seen maybe 4, 5, 6 years ago, you know, when companies had not the layoffs part, but let's call hiring freezes, you know, our business model actually performed pretty well during that period. So a company had a freeze and they couldn't hire somebody. Well, they still had the orders coming in 3 weeks, and you may know the effort it takes to, you know, to go through an audit, and they had cut deep, you know, in that situation. They needed to access somebody to get through the audit. You still had to file a 10K or a 10Q. There were still initiatives that were going on where you need to variably access people because you had either cut too deep or you were in a freeze. So I think that may be a parallel.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, interesting. It's just a quick summary. So you've addressed this new workplace where there are people out there that can not have to work for the same company for the rest of their career, make the same living or more, or have less, you know, less working hours or throughout their year, and they're all highly skilled, you know, highly educated, significantly trained and experienced people. So walk me through how you find somebody. How would I? So here I am, you know, I've been in the finance business forever. How would I actually go about getting a job? How would I decide I want to be a project person?
Yep. Well, you know, it's number one, you know, assuming we connect however we connect, you know, I'm telling you a story that you may not know. Right. So if there's anything hopefully that I've introduced on this conversation is this is a newer way that people are choosing to work. And you know, this may be only around the last 20 years and only in micro spots, you know, more and more it's expanding. So you're hearing a newer story of how I can become a dedicated project professional, and I'm receiving, you know, traditional benefits associated with traditional permanent employment. You know, this is a new story for me. You know, it's on the BD side, so if you think about it, we're going to be continually recruiting people who may want to become a project professional, and then we're positioning with companies, letting them know the value proposition to access experienced people who can plug in and get things done. Very often, as I'm talking to a CFO who I'm talking to these services about, that person will say, wait a minute, less stress, maybe more money, flexibility, sign me up, I want to do it, right? So sometimes I need to temper the excitement we have for this business model with the people who are actually hearing it. But, you know,
I was going to tell you, Mark, I'm sitting here and I'm like, I'm one of these people. I mean, you know, I'm proud to be a business owner, and I'm not saying that I'm going to finish this conversation, hang up the phone, and give you a call. But, you know, I learned a lot. I'm amazed at, you know, you can basically create your own work environment. I think it's a amazing thing. I, Mark, I can't thank you enough for being on today's program. I'm love today's topic. I thought it was really, really interesting, and I certainly learned a lot. Next week on the program, we're going to stay sort of in this whole what's changing in the employment world, and we're going to do a big focus on fitness and nutrition and how it really parlays into increased productivity in the workplace. I've got a really interesting CEO from a food company that manufactures and makes homemade meals for you every day, and then I've got a fitness expert as well. But Mark, again, thanks for being on the program. I really appreciate it.
No problem, Peter. Thank you.
Yeah, you got it. And you're listening to the In Black and Whites radio show. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Peter Whites. You can follow me at LinkedIn under my name, Peter Whites. Catch us on the blog at In Black and Whites. We're going to be putting up some interesting stuff from today's conversation. Tune in next week. Great show. Again, thanks to Mark Viner from Stephen Douglas & Associates. You're listening to Voice America Business. I'm your host, Peter Whites, on the In Black and Whites radio show.
Thank you again for tuning in to In Black and Whites. Please join your host, Peter Whites, again next Tuesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time and 7 a.m. Pacific Time for another edition of the program on the Voice America Business Channel. Have a safe week.